This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and your number is 877-217-5757. You can email us talk@talklouisiana.org, and we have two well-known lawyers from our community many times on this show for both of them, and the man who is the godfather of the Libertarian Party, Mike Wolf, is with us, and E. Eric Gayrard, also with some Libertarian leanings, although I think they voted for different people in the presidential election in 2016. We'll find out about that as well. They're here to talk primarily about legal advertising. As we know, E. Eric Gayrard did it in a big way and still does, and Mike Wolf has had a thriving practice without lawyer advertising, and there are different variations. As we know, we have attorneys who certainly have underwriting on WRKF. Some people find that more palatable than just full-fledged, in-your-face, come to me and you'll get a check kind of advertising that you see elsewhere. But we're going to talk about that, and if you have an opinion, once again, our number is 877-217-5757. There was a time when lawyers could not advertise, but in 1976, the Supreme Court of the United States recognized that they had the power to do so because of a vote from the High Court. Chief Justice Warren Burger threw out the claim that a total ban on advertising by lawyers and law firms was in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act, free speech issue. And Mike Wolf, you are a man who is a libertarian. I would think you're probably in favor of this, but nonetheless, you don't take part in it. Why not?
Well, yes, it's certainly the case. As a libertarian, we favor free speech and free divulgence of information, and especially commercial speech, to help the public discover services that are available to them and so forth. So it definitely should be legitimate for lawyers to advertise. But there's still an impression in the legal community that there's something unprofessional and unseemly about advertising, especially the hawksterish kind of advertising that's kind of overselling or hard sell kind of promotion, like guarantees and promises. And accordingly, the Bar Association, or the Supreme Court in this case in Louisiana, regulates advertising and requires that only factual statements can be made, and Eric will know more about the details of the regulations, but they do attempt to try to make the advertising realistic and not fanciful. But it still has a certain unseemliness about it. If you look about, and there's also a claim that excessive advertising foments litigation, encourages people to sue more than they should. And if you look at the lawyers who do the advertising, the most garish advertising is generally by personal injury lawyers. You don't see it by corporate lawyers, tax lawyers, labor lawyers in general, even family lawyers.
Why not?
Criminal lawyers.
Why not? Why not have an ad saying, come to me and I'll get your kids back?
You know, that's a good question. I was wondering about that myself as I prepared for this show. But those blue-chip-type firms who do corporate work, for example, do advertise, but they're often in magazines or underwriting programs, like you mentioned. Jones Day, for example, but you don't see them on billboards. But it's a huge subject area. It depends on where the market is. Mm-hmm. They think their market's going to be more reached through magazines than through billboards.
Well, it was 25 years ago tomorrow, I believe, that E. Eric Gayrard went solo with his practice, 4th of July of 1994, correct?
That is correct, actually.
25 years ago tomorrow.
Okay.
And for many years he was the top lawyer advertiser in the community, and has been detailed on this show. He lost his ticket, but he got it back, and now he's doing it again. And every ad you do has to be approved by, is it the Supreme Court or the Bar Association?
Well, the Bar Association, unfortunately, and it does. It used to be, and I would think that Mike would agree, that really the only rule should be you can't put on an ad that is fraudulent or lying, untruthful. That used to be the rule. Now there's a litany of rules, and some of them have been contested, successfully. But there's still, you have to submit every ad to the Bar Association. And I used to think that was, from a free speech perspective, that was something the government should not be doing. It's commercial speech. It's a little different than other speech, but still. And, you know, the overarching idea here is, you know, we're adults, and I would think that whether it's TV, and I don't really distinguish between TV advertising and other advertising. There's a myriad of advertising out there. Why pick on TV? Why pick on billboards? But we're adults, and, you know, throw it out there. No one has to call me. No one has to call these evil competitors of mine.
Evil competitors.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, hold that thought. One of your competitors, you actually went to court with each other, Gordon McKernan.
Yes.
He has ads that you would never hear on public radio or public television that are in your face. And in some states, they don't allow amounts that clients get to be mentioned. But obviously, I think J.C. Kane is about to pull up a spot in which Gordon McKernan mentions an amount or a client does. But nonetheless, on public radio, for example, you can't even give a phone number. You can't have a call to action. You have to just basically say, Mike Wolf, attorney at law, providing legal services for 40 years or more. But here is the kind of thing that I'm sure many of you see and hear in other places from Gordon McKernan.
I'm attorney Gordon McKernan. Big truck wrecks can cause big injuries, big medical bills, and big problems.
I got Gordon, and he got it done. And in my case, he got me $275,000.
I'll fight to recover your car repairs, medical bills, lost wages, and pain and suffering. I'm the one on the truck.
If you've been injured in any type of accident, he's...
All right, well, does that get on your last word, Mike Wolf?
Well, yeah, it is unseemly. It's but one of the main problems that the Bar Association has always raised about advertising is that they don't want to create unreasonable expectations in clients. And this kind of advertising tends to create the expectation that if I go to that lawyer, I'm going to get a large recovery. Now, on the other hand, the experience counts in law practice, and this kind of advertising tends to bring high volumes to personal injury practices, and that high volume generates greater experience and greater likelihood of better recovery. So there's a connection between the advertising and the skills that one's going to find at the firms doing the advertising. So basically, I'm in the middle on it. It's a matter of taste. I know many people who say they'd never go to a lawyer that advertises. But again, sometimes it's the only way a lawyer can learn about a competent law. I mean, an individual can learn of a lawyer.
Well, especially in the lower socioeconomic realm, where both white and black, if you don't have a lawyer in your social subset, you don't know who to call sometimes. And so that is the only way that those people are getting access to the legal system, which I would think most lawyers in the bar would want. But and so it may be garish, but again, you know, and is it the province of the bar, of the court, to decide whether or not, you know, it's going to be something that causing a person to want more money? You know, I think, again, I thought we were free adults in this country, and I think that's how it should be. Just throw it out there and let it go.
All right, and Gordon McKernan has been invited on this program in the past, and if he would like to appear, we certainly extend that invitation once again. 877-217-5757, Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Wolf and E. Eric Gayrard.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Mike. And good morning, Mr. E. Mr. Jim, I know you don't probably get out and do too much research in the streets and alleyways, but I will tell you this about Mr. Eric. He pumps his own gas. And so you got to respect a guy that doesn't mind getting out there, getting his hands dirty. I had a question, though.
Louis Unglesby does, too. And Mike Wolf is nodding that he pumps his own gas, too. But keep going.
Well, I'll be looking for the others, but Mr. E was right in front of me pumping his gas while I was pumping mine, so I couldn't help but see
it. All right, what's your question?
Okay, my question is this. I heard Mr. E, I believe it was on a commercial, he was talking about how the vast, vast majority of automobile accident claims are only a couple or a few thousand dollars. He didn't want people to get gold in their eyes like they seem to when the Reverend McKernan offers, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
All right, I don't know that he's offered that, but he's got a thriving practice. I think that's apparent. And we had the E guarantee, and now we've got the G guarantee, right?
We do. Now, only mine actually means something. We have 10 specific ones.
All right. But
anyway, but no, I use that as a marketing ploy because this gentleman is correct. The vast majority of cases are small. And even though it is truthful when they say it's 200, 300, 400,000 you can get, as a practical matter, you have to be hurt pretty good. And you really don't want to be hurt that bad, frankly, to get that kind of money. So my appeal is, look, we can help you with the small ones. We can get you what you deserve, depending on what the injuries are.
Tom in Woodland Ridge. Tom, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, great to talk to you this morning. How are you?
Fine.
Just two comments on this subject. The first, in terms of advertising being misleading, the most misleading advertising, in my opinion, is when they show purported clients and talk about the amount of money that that client made, and it's a misrepresentation. That.
All right, hold on. We're about to go to a break, Tom, and I'd like to have you finish your remarks. And you certainly made a cogent observation as we head to the break. And if others would like to join Tom and Mike and Eric, 877-217-5757, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. J.C. Kane is producing, and we're discussing legal advertising. It's estimated that 75% of law firms advertise in our country, and research has suggested that the smaller the firm, the more likely they are to advertise. 94% of Americans are familiar with lawyer television advertising, which is a big part of this. And another stat shows that 20% of low-income households have sought legal counsel or advice through lawyer advertisements. Is it good, bad, or does it really matter? Certainly, it is good for business for a lot of media outlets who have been hurting through the changes in the media landscape in recent years. And there is a distinction, as noted. Magazine advertisements are different than television or radio. And on radio, you can do much more on a commercial station than you can on a public station. And some lawyers find a public entity like this one a good fit. Others want to go all out and advertise their wares and use phone numbers and ask people to call them and tell them how much money they can deliver to them. All would be prohibited on public radio. Tom in Woodland Ridge, you were in midstream, and I had to cut you off because of our break, but you were making some interesting points, Tom, and I wanted you to continue with Mike Wolf and E. Eric Gayrard. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jim. How are you? Thanks. So the first item for me is that if you see the advertising with these purported clients, which we know is a dramatization, they're not real clients, so you have some young person jumping around and dancing around saying, I got $600,000. And as I referred to earlier, most people who got $600,000 in a settlement or a judgment are either in a wheelchair, missing a limb, or at the very least, they can't stand up straight. They're certainly not dancing around with joy. So that's a real misrepresentation and mischaracterization, and it does give people undue expectations. And the second point, and this may be a little touchy, but I think it's important to discuss, is when you look at the dramatized clients, look at the demographic base that is represented there. And it's not representative of the demographics of our town. And it seems to suggest that they are geared towards a certain type of client who they believe are more susceptible to trying to just make money out of an auto accident. And I think that's really sad, and I think it's doing a disservice to our public.
Eric, would you like to respond to Tom in Woodland Ridge?
Well, he's right to one extent. I mean, I don't like using actors for those kind of commercials. I don't do those commercials. I think they are just a tad misleading. But again, it goes back to undue expectations. I mean, who's to say that? Who are we or the government? Who is anyone to say whether a member of the public should or should not have undue expectations? As long as it's truthful, I really don't have an issue with it.
877-217-5757 for Mike and Eric. Steve in Mandeville. Hi, Steve. You're on Talk Louisiana.
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
I just wanted to know, does statistically or factually, does it show that for most small claims, and I don't mean small claims court, but I mean, $60,000, $50,000 claims, do people get enough by using a lawyer to pay the 30% or 40% that the lawyer wants to take, or you know, what's the numbers there?
Are there standard fees? Generally, I've been told lawyers get a third, and if it goes to court, they get maybe 40%. Is that generally the rate, or is that subject to change depending on conditions and different lawyers, Mike?
Yeah, it's all subject to negotiation, but the custom is in different areas. There are different practices, but the custom is a third. Sometimes it goes up to 40. It's rarely 50, but with a smaller or a more questionable claim, the lawyer could take a larger percentage. But the contingent fee system is what allows many claims to be litigated that otherwise wouldn't be litigated at all.
What about the cost of research, maybe investigators, depositions? Do those come out of the client's pocket or the lawyer's pocket, or both?
The clients. Those all come off the top. The expenses of litigation, out-of-pocket costs, are generally paid first, and then the percentage is made of the difference, the percentage split.
Yeah, you know, the idea is for these cases to be litigated, and it gives people, lower socioeconomic folks especially, the opportunity to do it where they couldn't afford to pay $200, $300, $400, $700 an hour that lawyers charge now. The stats say that if you have a lawyer, you get 3.5 times more money than if you don't, and that's from the from a biased source somewhat, but it's true. Lawyers tend to be able to work the cases to where they can get a lot more money for the client than they could on their own.
All right, Tracy at the Capitol asks, would it be legal for a lawyer to go on the air and say, hey, I'm only going to charge you 15% off the top rather than 33% or 40%? Is that legal or is that a no-no?
No, certainly. Legal.
No. I'm surprised
some lawyers don't do that.
Well, I've been waiting for it, actually, because you don't have price competition in the law field like you do in every other field in society, which I've always wondered. There's been one lawyer who's done 25% in Yellow Page ads for years, but I don't see it. I think because the lawyers are scared to go there, they know that that's going to open up the door to getting less money, frankly.
Jim in Woodstone. Hi, Jim. You're on Talk Louisiana.
I would like to just say that the pioneer in advertising as a lawyer in Baton Rouge was O.C. Brown and Nathan Fisher by their dress. They were the spotlight anywhere they went.
So they cut a swashbuckling figure when they went into a restaurant, and I agree with you on that. Of course, O.C. was a master at getting so-called free media, coming on shows like this, and he was a master at that. And there are different ways. For example, Donald Trump, he won the presidency primarily through free media he did not pay for. And the same is true of lawyers. Eric, is there no publicity that is bad?
Except for a crime. no, that is one of my mottos. All PR is good PR. There are limits to that. But Mike here, he's run for office a number of times. That gave him some good PR and, I assume, brought him some cases. So, you know, you do it. If you can, it's free. Better than paying for it.
Mike?
No, that's correct. Yes, in general, most publicity is good publicity, but it's not always true, but often true.
All right. And I think that was Jim Mayer, who probably was the man who clothed Nathan Fisher and O.C. Brown. Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray.
Thanks, Jim, for taking my call. There was an article in The Advocate a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, telling that our car insurance rates were probably 30 to 50% higher than normal because of all the advertisements by the attorneys. And also, they didn't mention that changing the laws on the attorneys and the way the advertisement can be handled, probably nothing will happen because I think 60% of our legislators are attorneys.
I don't know that it's quite that high, but it is a disproportionate representation. But is it simple and perhaps unfair to go after lawyers and say they're the culprit for high insurance rates, Eric? Is that a valid assessment?
No, I think that's certainly unfair. I'd like to see the research and the studies that suggest that. Of course, the people who are saying that are biased sources like the trucking industry, who are responsible for, you know, huge and horrendous accidents on the road.
Why do we have higher rates in Louisiana?
Well, part of it is because we have some horrible drivers, we have bad roads, we have bad bad laws in that regard. To me, the way to cut the rates of lawsuits and claims is just have less accidents. We don't do a good job with that here at all.
Mike, have you ever been tempted, based on seeing the results of people like Eric, to go that route and go on the air and say, come to me, Mike Wolf?
No, not really, but people have proposed it all the time. I've heard it for many years. But this question about insurance rates is a very interesting one. The paper has been analyzing it. In this past session of the legislature, several bills were proposed that did not pass, that the proponents claimed were going to result in lowering insurance rates. But it reminds me of what was done in 97 when the legislature took the horrible step of denying injured persons claims for up to $10,000 of damages if they didn't have auto insurance. If they're injured by other drivers, their claims were taken away, and it did not lower insurance rates.
877-217-5757 is your number. Another segment with E. Eric Gayrard and Mike Wolf, and now the news with Karen Henderson on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. J.C. Kane is producing, and another segment with E. Eric Gayrard and Mike Wolf, two lawyers with different approaches to legal advertising. E. Eric Gayrard, 25 years ago tomorrow, put his first ad on the air. And for a while, he was the biggest practitioner of legal advertising in this community, perhaps in the whole state, perhaps only exceeded by his former employer, Morris Bart. But he still is in the game doing his thing. And Mike Wolf, who's had a thriving practice, doesn't do it. And a listener notes that he sees you, Mike, down at the courthouse quite frequently and asks if these lawyer advertisers spend much time actually in the courtroom, or is it mostly settled, or perhaps always settled before it gets to that point? What do you think?
Let's have Eric answer that.
Well, as a practical matter, almost every case doesn't go to court. I mean, 95% plus don't ever go to court. Yeah. But if you're into the TV advertising, large marketing law firm, you're essentially running a business. The bar hates to hear that, but you're still an attorney and obligated by ethics, but you're running a business, and you don't have the ability to go to court, because that's a whole different time commitment and subset of skill, actually. So you don't want to do that. You need to be able to run that business.
Thomas asks, he says, ask E. Eric what personal injury lawyer charges $700 an hour.
I didn't say personal injury. I said there are lawyers who charge $700 an hour. I was charged one like that, a special tax lawyer out of Atlanta, actually charges $700 an hour, and that's low. Because there's higher ones. I was referring to all aspects of law.
Okay. 877-217-5757 to join Mike and E. Eric. And we go to Dan downtown. Dan, who's a lawyer, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, good morning. There was mention about employment law and advertising. Well, the reason there's no advertising in that area is because the U.S. Fifth Circuit rubber stamps lower court decisions for employers, reverses more than half the decisions when an employee went to lower court, and that's the truth.
All right. Another listener. Thank you, Dan. Always good to hear from you. Paul says there is no more competitive environment than fellow lawyer advertisers, and we have seen this on display in this community with E. Eric and G. Gordon. And J.C. Kane, can we go to E. Eric's spot, which resulted in a court fight between these two esteemed barristers? Here was a bit of E. Eric taking a poke at his counterpart, Gordon McKernan.
I'm injury lawyer E. Eric Gayrard. If you've been in an accident, I don't know, falling off an 18-wheeler while shooting a TV commercial. Gee whiz, are you okay? So don't fall for a copycat. Get an original. E. Eric Gayrard.
He didn't get the joke, and you ended up in court. What happened with that one?
Yeah, Gordon McKernan needs to go to Walmart and buy a pair of big boy pants. He doesn't take a joke. It was settled. Unfortunately, I didn't have all
of... Did you pay him some money?
Oh, no. And he had all of his daddy's money to fight me with. So ultimately, we did settle. But it was going to be far too expensive, and this is why I can appreciate people's feelings out there in the public. It was going to be far too expensive for me to litigate it, so I just settled. The settlement was that I can't run that particular commercial in an ad anymore. But if you want to see it on the internet or on my Facebook, you can see it. And the other part was I can use the e-guarantee still.
All right. And once again, G. Gordon, who's mentioned a few times today, if he'd like to appear on this show, we would welcome that opportunity. And Mike Wolf, when you drive down the interstate and you see those big G's, I think on both sides of the interstate now, you're smiling now, but do you smile or does that kind of ruffle your feathers for a man who usually is the most mild of mild-mannered gentlemen?
It's distracting. I keep seeing Gordon when I go to the courthouse. That's when I see him, not on the big signs, but smaller signs.
You don't see him in the courthouse
access,
very much, though.
Access road. No, but those signs are distracting, but again, they inform the public. And lawyer advertising is a socially useful activity, and it's commercially useful. So I'm not against it in principle, but I just wish it were a little more tasteful and weren't quite so overwhelming as it is. But that's the world we're in right now.
Gives me opportunity to make fun of the other guys. I kind of like it.
But do you like any of your other fellow lawyer advertisers?
Them personally?
Yes.
No.
None of them.
Well, maybe one or two, but they're a dastardly bunch. I got to say what I believe.
And why aren't you in that number if they're all painted of the same with the same brush?
Well, it's just it's their personal attributes. You know, I just think that I'm a little different. But you know, at one point, people don't realize this, but it was 76 that case came down, the Supreme Court case allowing advertising, but it was only for about 60 years that it was banned. Prior to the early 1900s, it was fair game. Abraham Lincoln advertised in the mass medium of his day as a lawyer, which was newspapers. So, you know, I think it's fair. I think it's here to stay, obviously, and let the public decide.
Well, and it's a case I think that many people, they draw a line. It's just a question of where they draw the line, and magazines, newspapers, public radio, public television, they're probably okay with that. But some of this other stuff is really beyond the pale, and some say it denigrates the profession.
Well, what any profession can advertise, and if it denigrates it, then that's the risk you take as an advertiser. And so,
well, it's kind of like negative advertising politically. People whine and complain about it, but Mike, it works.
Sure, and like you say, it denigrates the profession. Yeah, it does, and a car dealer that makes a fool of himself, I suppose, hurts the image of car dealers in general, but sometimes you can't get much lower than the way things are. You know, we've got a stereotype about them, and lawyers, too. A lot of people say you can't make their image any worse. So,
well, you know, lawyers bring it on themselves. I think there is an over-lawyerification in America, so, you know, I got a bone about that myself.
Mm-hmm. Did you like L.D. Sledge?
As a person or advertising?
Yeah.
L.D. was great.
Well, one of the ones that made me laugh.
Oh,
and I've laughed
at
a few years too, Eric. But one of them was that
him
one with
Percy Sledge.
Him and Percy Sledge. I thought that
Cousins.
Was great.
I thought it was great too. He was you know, he was an eccentric. It was. He is an eccentric gentleman. And I liked him personally. And he was one of the earlier people on TV, actually.
But he got disbarred. And there are those, and I must say, there are those who would never advertise, perhaps like Mike, who believe that once you go on the air and start doing this, you make yourself a magnet for controversy. It was statements that you made to the newspaper, I believe, that ended up in a courtroom. And so you became certainly a target for some.
A huge target. You know, and some would say that the bar and people of power in the bar wanted a pelt on the wall, and unfortunately, it was my pelt, I think. But you know that's okay. That's the risk you take in that. But and again, I don't mind being a target because you know it's part of the game, it's part of what you do, and it's, in the end, I hope it's rewarding for me and for my clients.
Mike, do you see any turning back, or is the genie out of the bottle?
No, I think it's pretty much out of the bottle. I can't see it changing, but. Again, we always hope for self-regulation in professional governance. You know, you hope that the people will just show better taste in doing the advertising and that you don't have to rely on some sort of forced system with the micromanagement by the bar and so forth.
It comes down to money, though, frankly, Jim, is what it was, because the powers in the bar didn't like the idea that the TV lawyers, to use a quote, were getting all the business. And so something had to be done about the TV lawyers. It didn't work because the genie was out the bottle. It is forever out the bottle. But you take a shot when you can, trying to take the whole part of the industry down.
What's this about you issuing a fitness challenge to your cohorts?
Well, yes, and it's on the internet now. I have challenged every other TV lawyer, the main partners, if any of them can beat me in a fitness challenge, and I'm almost 61 years old, I will give them $10,000 to the health charity of their choice. But I've gotten no takers so far.
They have to be a TV lawyer, right?
TV lawyer and one of the main partners. They can't have some, you know, young athletic associate do it, you know. but they're just a bunch of weenies.
You've kept yourself in good shape, but you support a president of the United States who is in terrible physical condition. How can you square that?
He is rather portly. Well, you know, there are just some people that I would like to see in better shape, and he's one of them. But he has his other attributes outweigh that for me.
Well, there aren't many trial lawyers who are supportive of Donald John Trump. Mike Wolff, in your libertarian heart, could you bite the bullet and vote for the president in 2016?
No way. I don't think so. I can't imagine.
Of course, you went for the libertarian?
On the choices that are available. Yes, in 2016, I voted for Gary Johnson. The Libertarian nominee, and I was counting on voting for William Weld next time, but Weld left the Libertarians, and now he's trying to beat Trump in the Republican Party.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, he won't get anywhere, but he thinks he can siphon off some votes. I'm not sure what will happen, but I'm hoping we'll have a good nominee and get more votes than in the past. We definitely need some alternative to the Democrats and the Republicans.
But getting back to an earlier call about the legislature, look at the people running for president on the Democratic side. Many of them are lawyers, and certainly the front runners are lawyers. Biden and Harris are lawyers. Elizabeth Warren's a lawyer. It seems that politics and the legal profession often go together. Donald Trump is not a lawyer, Eric.
No, and as I alluded to earlier, there's a huge overrepresentation and over-lawyerification in America. If you look at the Congress, any state legislature, school board, city councils, they're far overrepresented by lawyers. And to me, that's a problem, because that's not what the founders meant. And that's why it's got to the point where anything can be argued in this country. If you've got a good enough ability to argue something like most lawyers do, you can argue any point. Depends what the meaning of is.
Well, you have evolved from a journalist to a comedian to a lawyer. And Eric Gayrard, who will be 61 later this month on the 13th, 10 days away. He is still in the game. And Michael Wolff at 71 is still doing his thing. So hats off to both of you for staying the course at what you do.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll be back after this brief pause with more Talk Louisiana.